So I went to the hospital today. I went
because
to,
tell everyone why you.
Okay, well, my side's been hurting, and every time I eat, I feel like I'm a little nauseous. Just
your,
when I
your
eat.
Right side, right?
My right side,
like
yes.
Where around your stomach is?
Oh, right under the ribs.
Okay.
Right under the ribs. So I don't know. I was thinking maybe my liver, my gallbladder, my pancreas, my intestines, I don't know if it's gastrointestinal, if it's something. I don't know. So I finally had enough of it. Even though I went to the doctor, it's probably 3 times already.
Yeah. And what did they say?
Nothing's wrong.
It's ridiculous.
And I've been having this for years. And I'm like, okay, this is enough. This is enough. Something's wrong, guys. So I went and I said, listen, I sat down with the person. This is why I love Chinese doctors. It's like they never tell you what's wrong. They listen to you, and so you tell them what to do. You know, it's like, guys, okay.
You go, first of all? What hospital?
I went to Huashan Hospital.
Like most hospitals, they have like a VIP section, right? And they have the regular former section.
Yeah, so I decided I was going to go to the regular section because, you know, I was like, I want to save money. I have all day. I'm jobless. So I'm going to go over there and just wait in line. Hordes of people.
Yeah.
Hordes of people.
Yeah.
And I went straight upstairs to the 8th floor to the international section very fast. And I guad my how there. I registered there.
So it would have been a waste of time.
Well, anyway, so I went up to the international one. I sat down with the doctor. I told her the thing. She really didn't want to hear it that much, so I told her what I was going to do.
She didn't want to hear that much?
Well, I was going to tell her about my history and like going to see other doctors and what they said. And she's just like, just tell me what happened. I'm like, well, okay, I guess that's relevant too. And so I said, okay, this happened, and this is what I want. So I told her I want a ultrasound, I want a blood test, I want a urine test, and I want a poop test. I want to test everything.
I
want to test.
You had the poops, so.
Oh no, I don't. I didn't. Okay, so everything went good. I gotta tell you about the poop test. So they gave me these two bottles, right? And then one's for pee, one for poop, and the poop one is smaller than the pee one.
What?
Yes. And I was like, all right, so it's like, okay, so they, like, the pee one has like 100 ml, but the poop one is like about 30 ml.
Oh.
And I'm like, wait a minute, this isn't. And so you take off the top, and it has like this little, so the top, and then it has a stick coming down from the bottom with like a little spoon in it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right.
So like you can do, okay, so I'm like, okay, I understand. So I can take it, I can spoon it, and I can put it back in. I understand. So I go to the bathroom. And I don't know how to do this, so I'm really trying to get.
Wait,
creative.
Was it a regular bathroom?
Well, no, it was a one person bathroom with like a toilet.
But a regular toilet.
Yeah, regular toilet.
Huh?
Yeah. So I'm like, okay. So
I've never done this actually. So
I've never done this either. So I'm thinking, okay, so because it's a normal toilet, I sit down kind of, and there's the water in the bottom. So I was like, okay, so but if I poop in the toilet. I didn't have to poop, but so I'm gonna have to really, you know, work it. And if I do work it, I know that I have a limited supply, so I gotta make it count. So I can't waste any.
Right.
So I go, okay, if I waste my limited supply and it falls in the water, I'm not gonna be able to get it, and it's contaminated, so it's not gonna work. So I layer the top with toilet paper on top of the water. So I was hoping that it drops down, hits the paper,
like,
and stays
raft.
There. Like a raft, exactly.
Genius.
So I go, and apparently it was too heavy, so it dragged everything down.
Oh.
So I lost one. I panicked.
Were you already sweating, like squeezing this one out, like?
Yeah, I was gonna get hemorrhoids from this. All right. So my next one was as I go to the end of the toilet. Yeah. So I my junk is off the toilet. And my butt is in the toilet. So I'm, because you know how it's slanted, like,
yeah,
the bowl curves down.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to land it.
You're trying to do a mudslide. You're trying to do a mudslide.
Yes. So I'm trying to land it.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm trying to land it on the curve. The curve of the toilet. And, you know, so it stays there. And I can scoop it. Well, I lost another one. Oh, man down, man down. He hits it, ricochets, and goes into the water. I'm panicking because I know I only have one more left. So I look around. I'm thinking of different options. Okay, so there's toilet paper over here, and there's paper towels on the wall. So maybe I just squat on the floor, drop my last my last dude right on the floor on the paper towels, get him off the paper towel, and then dispose of the paper towel. Or the same thing with the toilet paper. I don't know what to do. So anyway, so I was like, okay, this is my last chance. I take the toilet paper, and oh, this is gross. So I take the toilet paper, I take the pieces, and I put it on my hand, and I poop on the toilet paper. I have the last one. My last dude poop on the toilet paper on the hand, but then I, you know, it's on my hand, and I can't really do everything, so I have to take it. I put the poop and the toilet paper on the sink. It's not touching the sink, so I put it on the sink and I put everything. So then I take care of myself and everything, and then I go over there and scoop it in there. And I was like, you know, because you know, it's kind of like you kind of like brush it off into the cup to put it on, dispose of it. And the topper of the story was there was so much toilet paper in the toilet afterwards that it overflowed. So I was like, okay, I'm done. I flushed and it starts going all over the floor.
Yeah, another thing about China, most toilets will not handle flushing toilet paper.
Oh my God, this is a golden story. How long did the whole process take?
It really wasn't that long. I would say probably about 7 or 8 minutes.
Okay.
But it was, I had to get crafty.
Did it feel long?
Huh?
Did it feel long?
Well, there's somebody waiting outside the door. Hold on, please. Hold on. Yo, Ren. Yo, Ren. Yep.
And then, so when it starts on the floor and you're leaving, do you try to avoid eye contact with the person trying to get in?
Well, no, I had to. I waited for it to subside, and then actually there was only a couple pieces in there still, and you know I cleaned it up a little bit. It didn't overflow that much. It was like a trinkle. It kind of went to the top, and it was like, you know, you ever pour a beer and then like, the foam just rises just there, but one drips over the side. That's how it was. China. MSG. Sorry, we had to tell the story. Before we kick off today, we just want to say thank you to everyone that listens to the podcast. We moved from nothing to number 998th most listened to podcast. Okay, I know that there's still 997 podcasts above us, yet we still want to say thank you for listening. We're not delusional. We don't think we're going to go to number one overnight, or we don't really think we're going to beat out any of the big podcasts or big names. Yet we still want to try our best and still say thank you for supporting us. We also want to let you know that we have a Facebook page. It's called China MSG. Just go to Facebook, search China MSG, and you'll find us. There we post pictures and maybe some stories about a little back-end information of the things that we talk about. Also, our host page is chinamsg.podomatic.com. That's podomatic.com. On this episode, we're going to go to Iwu, and we're going to eat Indian food. Our usual format is we first talk about the restaurant and then the main topic. But this time, since we're going to follow chronological order of our trip to Iwu, the Indian restaurant is going to come a little bit in the middle. So, thank you for listening.
Honestly speaking, I'm still not 100% recovered from our trip. I'm still stoked about going, but I was way more stoked before we went to Iwu, because now I feel like I just came back from a week-long trip where I'm exhausted and I just want to be at home for a while and relax before I go on another trip.
How long was this trip that we're all exhausted from? Was it actually 14 hours probably.
It was
14 hours.
It was the longest day trip of my life.
I woke up at 3:00 in the morning.
3:30.
Okay, and then we took a whole hour and a half train ride down to Iwu, and we got back around, I got back at 10:30, 11, I think.
Yeah, I went to bed at 11.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I went to bed around 11.
It was a long trek just to get to the train station.
Yeah, so we left our house at 3 a.m. and get back at, well, let's say 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m.?
Yep.
That's pretty crazy.
With no sleep.
With basically no sleep for almost, yeah.
Yeah, I had 3 hours.
Yeah, I think I had 3 hours.
I think I got about two. I came home late. I went out the night before, so I came home already like 12:30 and went to bed at 1:30 or 2 and got up at 3:30. So anyway, as exciting as this is to discuss our sleeping schedule.
What is Iwu? Most people probably don't know what this is.
David, what do you think? If you had to describe Iwu, what's it all about?
The armpit of China.
I wish it wasn't that warm at all.
Oh, so you mean cold. The under the balls of? That's pretty warm
that's
too.
That's even warmer.
Well, the balls kind of sit away from the body, so they're
no. And then if it's cold, they kind of okay. They
go up into the body.
what, yours don't do that?
No.
I'm exhausted.
Iwu is, I guess, centered around trade in China. A lot of factories surrounding that area, which is very noticeable by the thick clouds of pollution. that blocked the sun in the city.
We have a picture. We'll put it up.
Yeah, we'll put up a picture of Yiwu. It's located in Zhejiang province, right?
Yes.
It's not a big city. I mean, I think, what, like a couple of million?
Yeah, a small town of a couple million.
Yeah,
small village of a couple million in China.
It's landlocked, so it's actually not on the near any body of water, which is kind of interesting.
Hmm.
Even though the province is, but the city isn't. And I guess it's the center of, what do they call it, small commodities.
And it's a place where they broker a lot of trade deals with between factories that produce small commodities and foreign importers.
Yeah. So that's is that the main? I guess that's the main thing about Yiwu, right?
Yeah, I probably should study up a little bit more. But the little blurb I've heard is that people in Yiwu have always done some type of intermediate trade business because it's kind of a landlocked area where they didn't have resources, but they were always doing trade brokering and transportation, moving product, and that's in modern times that includes international import and export.
So what I'm a little confused, how did this idea came about? Like you came up with this, right?
Well, it's something I've been working on.
But how did you know that was the place to go? I mean, who told you or how did you stumble upon Yiwu? I had no idea.
I've been asking around about this since before I came back to China, which is about 5-6 months ago.
Oh, so you knew about Yiwu even
In fact, when I first planned to come visit you guys, before I came here and started working, I came to visit,
uh-huh.
and I was talking about Yiwu at that time. Actually, I was wanting to get a chance to go down and take a look at Yiwu, just throwing around some ideas about doing some possible export stuff. As I came and worked, that kind of fell by the wayside. But now with the ending of my last gig,
long career,
looking at the next step and back to looking at some export ideas, something I'm fascinated by. I mean, now we live in the center of the world for export, but our lives pretty much don't touch that. No, we have nothing to do with it here, but it's very accessible to us if we look into it. So I don't know. I think I think for all of us, it's kind of a little bit of a enigma. Like, how does that all work?
We've been in China for almost 10 years and we don't know much about export business or the industry or of any sort of, so.
I mean, I think we kind of joke about it. Like, there's a quote from a hilarious movie we've talked about on the podcast before, which is, this is Sunny Tun.
Oh yeah,
this highly is recommended.
Yes, yes.
Highly recommended.
If you haven't seen it, it's full of it's brilliant. It's brilliant.
It's a kind of a spoof movie about interactions of some ridiculous foreigners that moved to China, and one of the classic lines in there.
The guy asks,
oh yeah, what brings you to China? Oh, I'm going to work, with the import, the export, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
As in most of us probably come here with some kind of vague idea of import, export, but have no idea how to get involved in it.
Yeah. So wait. I just want to make this clear. That means you knew about Yiwu since before you came here.
Yes.
So you were planning to go there for 6 months?
I've been planning to go there for at least 6 months or more. So finally, the opportunity came and
there was not a lot of planning.
Not a lot of planning. It's yes and no. I mean, actually, originally when I went there, I was planning to go there. I didn't have a set plan in mind. Again, it was kind of like, the import, the export.
Yeah, like a scouting mission. Right?
I knew that was the place, and I was literally planning to go there and just take a look, maybe take some pictures, look at some what they had, and see if anything like piqued my interest.
It's kind of what we did, though, right?
Yeah,
it's kind of what we did.
Yeah, and since then, I've got some more clear idea of what I'd like to maybe give a try at doing some export with. So it's becoming clear. And by the time I got there, I actually knew what I wanted to look for specifically.
So yeah, and that's I didn't know anything about Yiwu until like a month ago when Wally just mentioned it, and I was like, where? No, it's close. Let's go. And now I was super excited to going.
I was very excited to go.
Yeah. A day trip. The first thing that was like, was not a stumbling, well, I guess like a stumbling block, but he says 6:49 train. And I'm like, oh, really? A 6:49 train?
And why do we want the 6:49 train?
We'll get to that. But
we were imagining, because the market opens at 8. Yeah. So to get there by 8 or 8:30, we want to get the early train so we can
fight through the crowds to get the first look at all the merchandise.
Yeah, because I imagine like stereotypical market of like throngs of people and like how much for this? You know, 50 kwai, 500.
I was
sold.
Yeah,
who is just like slides out there.
45, 45. We're gonna 45, 50, 50, 50, 50 over there, 50 over there. We got a 55, 55 over in the back of the back of the yellow. 55, 55, 55 and 60 and 60 and did we see that?
I was imagining the. I was imagining the Wall Street trade floor, you know?
Yeah.
Millions of people in suits, like, bidding.
Flying by, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It's a little quieter than that.
A little bit.
Super quiet.
No, but, so let's, I think, this, that was a, it was a trip. So, 6:49, I complained for a solid 40 minutes about a 6:49 train and trying to convince you not to go at 6:49, right?
Yeah.
Solid 40 minutes.
Yeah, and I have to say,
I said no and then yes and then no.
Props to David for pulling through. We live close to the train station that would take us there. David, on the other hand, lives across the city.
Yeah.
He had to travel probably an extra hour and a half each way at least.
So we planned on going at 6:49 a.m. And
ended up buying the tickets at 5 o'clock.
So even the...
The 5 o'clock train. We get there at 6:30, and we sit around in the middle of Iwu.
Wait. Let's get to that. I want to take it step by step, because I think that's important. I mean, because especially if you're not, you don't travel. Maybe I don't know if you don't travel a lot by trains in China, or you don't travel around. I think it's pretty important the whole process. First of all, you know, to buy the tickets, you got to go to the official ticket outlets. And I was out at my friend's company, who was showing me around. And I get these calls from Wally, who's like, and I'm busy, and I'm coming on not answering. And I was, you know, trying to get my buddy full attention. And there's like a million messages on my WeChat. And then I start listening to them after I'm on the way back. And he's like, well, there's no more tickets. There's nothing really left. Nothing at 6:49. The only ticket's at 5 a.m. Do you want to go? And the next message is, I bought us tickets for 5 a.m. Oh, shit.
Now, you can look up what all the possible options for tickets are online on websites. But when you have to actually go to the ticket office to find out what's actually left. You know, what's actually still available for you to buy. And, hey, at least we got the bullet train.
Yes.
Which makes a difference of an hour and 20-minute trip, which I think it was actually less for us. It was quick.
It felt super quick.
Super fast trip. And comfortable, clean, nice.
Yeah.
The regular train, 4.5 hours.
Yeah, Jesus. So if you're from outside of China, the train system in China is fantastic. There's three types of train. There's like the old school train that you could, you know, you imagine just whatever, a locomotive, pretty slow, stops everywhere. That's like the, you know, the local, stops at every town, stops everywhere. Then there is the what's called a Dongche, which is, what would you translate, the fast train? The speedy train. It's a modern train. Like the Dongche is fast. It's brand new. It's super comfortable.
Well, the Dongche was traditionally the fastest one.
Yeah, but now
they have the G, the bullet train.
If you the Dongche looks and feels like the bullet train. It's like the same model kind of thing.
Not now it is.
Yeah. I guess it's just an express train.
Yes, yeah,
express.
But it goes faster. It goes faster.
Yeah, it does.
It goes faster than the regular train.
I've taken.
And
that
then
before.
There's the G train, the bullet trains, which go super fast. Think 300 kilometers.
Yeah, we're going 300.
Yeah.
What we took was the bullet train.
Yeah.
Right.
And we took the bullet train.
Yeah.
And there, I mean, to get around China, it's the best possible way. I mean, if you could get a bullet
train,
it's amazing.
Don't mislead them. The bullet train only goes to select places so far.
Sure. But I'm just saying, if you can, I think it's one of the best ways. It's the best way to travel.
Yeah.
We got to Iwu, still dark, right? And I'm just like, okay, where do we go?
Freezing cold.
Freezing. Freezing and dirty, and it's... Even for China, it was dirty as hell. It was
like
just smoky.
Between the before sunset and like clouds of pollution, mist of pollution all around us.
It was like tumbleweeds, right? You said?
Yeah, tumbleweeds of pollution.
Just rolling by.
Yeah, you can see like mist of pollution blowing down the street.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were like, well, where do we go? So
the sun was blowing in and out of view beneath pollution.
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah.
Well, at sunrise.
Yeah, when the sunrise came, yeah. It was visible then invisible. I have a picture of it, but the picture is a little misleading. It actually looks a lot nicer than it actually was.
So we pulled the classic foreigner move, which was, taxi driver, where's Starbucks? We found that was closed.
So we ended up at McDonald's.
Where's McDonald's?
The embassy, the official embassy.
Yeah, the official embassy of expats.
Yeah. And I think that seriously, only the people at the counter at McDonald's were the only ones not surprised to see us.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
What made it extra cold for a certain person called Wally is he decided to wear just a suit.
Just a suit.
No scarf, no gloves, nothing. Just a suit.
Why, Wally, did you want to do this?
I want to show him I mean business. I'm not here to play. I'm here business.
And for everybody that doesn't know, if you're in China and you wear a coat, you don't mean business.
Yeah, coat is
you're
a farmer.
Okay, you know what? Hey, okay, today, now the day after, and the day after, and the day before, has been beautiful, warm weather in Shanghai. Again, warm weather. That one day was freezing cold.
It was super cold. He didn't bring a scarf, which was awesome. But I felt you were in a lot of pain. But you soldiered through. You soldiered through. So that was good.
I got to.
And I know what you meant. You're like, this is a huge marketplace.
Wait, yeah. Also, yeah, I was imagining.
Okay, yes, we all
it's
were.
An indoor shopping mall. Yeah, basically, a giant. Yeah. City size, yeah. Indoor shopping mall.
No, wait, let's not understate how big this place is. It took us, what, I think at least a good hour to walk from one end to the other.
Yeah.
If you're in middle America, it's not misleading to say it's the size of a town.
Yeah, it's the size of a town.
It is a shopping mall, an indoor shopping mall, the size of a town.
Look, I don't know how they're calculating this. They said 4 million square meters. Of floor space, but I don't know if that's their footprint or between all five floors.
Right.
I don't know.
And if it is between five floors, that's like 4 million. That's crazy, and I wouldn't be surprised. The place is huge.
60,000 shops, 60,000 little
something like that.
Yeah, something.
You know,
stupid.
You know what they need? I was thinking they need a little tram or a light rail going around the thing.
Yes.
So you can get off at District 1.
There's a bus that does that.
Oh, is there?
Yeah, there's a bus that does it. Yes.
And what we also noticed is that the taxis there. Probably partly because it's a small town, but the taxi meter system is a little different. It starts at a very low rate, only 5 kwai, it starts at what, 15 kwai here in Shanghai?
14
kwai, okay.
During the day.
Okay.
18 at night.
So it all starts at 5 kwai there, but it kind of goes up fairly quickly. So it seems like their taxis are kind of meant to go short distances around that center of town, more or less.
Possible, yeah.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
And besides the main mall, there's all the buildings surrounding it are packaging and printing.
Right, and all mail and shit like that. Yeah.
Banking, all things related to this trade. And they all have these skybridge walkways, a lot of them, that shoot out from the main building that walk into other buildings that branch out into other buildings.
Yep.
It's an entire industry about export trade.
And then there's like little offices that'll help you. They were closed, but to help you move stuff around. I mean, it was
freight companies, freight forwarders, probably agents that deal with customs and all this kind of trade. So, I mean, aside from outside of the mall, it looks kind of like a small size city. Mm-hmm. But you can see that development is happening pretty fast. Yes, and what's going up there is like brand new, like high-rise hotels in the middle of a kind of a flat,
not flat,
rural area,
very rural area, and that's kind of my first takeaway was like, oh, I'm sorry, real quick, come back. So, you know, we thought, you know, indoor shopping mall, and I kind of, you know, was thinking about that too. Yeah, okay, we're gonna be walking around it. You don't want to be sweaty, you know, it's winter time. That shopping mall was cold. So it was so cold.
We walk in, massive doors. Imagine like the doors to the airport, but there's no doors. It's just open. You could drive a freight truck into the front door, and there's no doors.
Yeah.
Wind is just whipping inside the mall. And you right away in front of you is escalators, all turned off.
Yeah, all the escalators were turned off. And the floor, the stone floor, was the coldest thing in the world. It's like walking on ice. It emanated so much coldness.
Through your shoes.
Right through your shoes. It went right through you. I was cold the whole time I was there, so I don't know how you felt, because I wore enough clothes and a coat, and I was not freezing, but I was shivering the whole time.
I was seriously hyped up on this trip. I think I had an adrenaline rush when I got there.
The whole time?
I got to say, your scarf saved me. Thank you for the scarf loan.
He took, well, I gave him my scarf, but yeah.
So we got in. Where's like, where are the crowds? Oh, you know, just because it's sunrise when we got there. Yeah. They're probably going to, we beat the crowds.
Any moment,
I'm all excited. We beat the crowds, right? Any moment, it's going to be throngs of people. We're going to be wading through bodies.
Yes.
Did they ever come?
Not really. Some sections were busy. Like the I remember the clothes section. Remember we walked through there? The clothes were busy.
Yeah, the shoes were busy.
Yeah. The toys
section was busy.
Yep. Toy section was busy. But generally not super busy.
The toothpaste section, not too busy.
No, there's a toothpaste section.
There is a toothpaste section.
The sex toy section, not so busy.
Not so busy.
The massive, massive sex toys.
Okay, so David, how would you describe it? What's inside the market? Like, what is it?
Well, first I want to give a shout out to user 12345678 on Reddit. We actually posted something on Reddit to say, hey, we're going to Yiwu. It's our Shanghai. And this person gave us a very, very nice, long, detailed account of what to expect in Yiwu. It's how we found McDonald's, and they had a Burger King there, and thank you very much to him. But here's my – okay, when I was going down to Yiwu, what I expected was the small commodities place that I was going to find just – you know, just it was going to be Wonderland. It was going to be Disney World. I can find everything.
Yeah.
And I was going to find things that I can take back to the States or Hawaii or, you know, or Europe or like.
States and Hawaii is the same thing, but just.
Yeah, well, ask a brother, brah. Let's see. And then, or you go to, or to Europe or something. And actually, what I saw there is I was personally disappointed because it didn't meet my needs. Mm-hmm. And I was going there to look for something. Hey, what can I ship back to the States or Europe and is going to be, you know, of something of quality that they're going to respect or they're going to purchase and like. What I found personally is that it was kind of not geared for us. It was more of like a.
Guys, let's be honest. It was mostly trash.
Mostly
crap.
And that's the thing. It's.
And were the prices good for the crap?
Not really.
Not that good.
Not that great.
Not that good.
So, well, we talked about it. We talked about it, and we said this was geared for the third world country person coming over here to do business and ship it back to his country. Like, they don't have a Walmart, so they need to get toothpaste or rubber gloves or something like that
and
from
no
China.
And no one's checking, you know, and the nobody, brand or what's inside.
Nobody's checking the brand because they don't care. They don't know. Or maybe it is a brand. Like, instead of Colgate toothpaste, which is the same packaging they had there, they had, like, Coolgate toothpaste. Yes. And they would ship it over there, and they had no labels on
it's
it. It's
kind
whatever.
Of the stereotypical Chinese manufacturing market that
exactly.
You know, honestly, like all that stuff that was there, I you can't find. Like you can't find it in Shanghai.
And so the people that go there are the people that don't live in China or don't know Taobao or don't know Alibaba or do, and they just have a problem and they just want to go there and do business. But then they say they're not talking about like we're finding the cheapest things that we can. But they're just saying, there, okay, we're going to do containers. This is easy. I have a guy here. They ship it to me. I'm paying good profit.
Yes, exactly.
Screw it. I'm selling it in Kosovo.
Kosovo
people.
Another thing. I don't think those goods you could sell in China.
No, you
can't. You can't sell Colgate and Crest toothpaste in China.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you know.
Yeah, less and less. Less and less.
I mean, I'm sure there's some villages you
can. Well, I don't know, actually. I don't know.
But have you? I mean, we lived in the cut. We lived in, you know, you could always find Crest. There was always a cheap version of Crest.
Yeah, there
or,
always
or
was.
Or a Chinese brand. Yep. But, you know, a legit Chinese brand or a Korean brand. But it was never Colgate. It was, you know, it was never, like, these brands.
So who is the major market in Yiwu? We heard a little bit about this.
Right.
And we kind of discovered.
Well, what I heard was Africa.
Right, Africa,
India, African countries,
Middle East,
yeah.
A lot of Middle Eastern restaurants, and you see signs written in French and in
Eastern Europe.
Yep,
and some of the poor
the stans,
the
stan block,
and then the poor South America.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not aware of this, you might be surprised to find that if you travel outside of the States into developing nations, you might find stuff you. It's a poorer country, right? Stuff's going to be super cheap. Not always.
Yeah.
Sometimes you'll find people paying much higher prices than you pay at Walmart to buy shoes or toothpaste or this kind of stuff.
Right.
Because they don't have that leverage. They don't have that economy of scale that a country like the U.S.
Yeah.
And that companies like Walmart, for example, have. You know, they're buying smaller stock from these type of middleman traders in Yiwu and exporting small container loads probably to their home country.
I mean, I had a friend who would export to Ukraine and for a while, and that's the way he did it. He would buy Levi jeans here, or you know, shoes, and then sell it there, because he said it was insanely expensive. Ukraine is not a cheap place. You want a pair of jeans, you're going to pay a ton of money.
And it's not because it's a wealthy country, right?
Yeah, exactly. It has nothing to do with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was on my way there, I was imagining like international standard shopping mall. I was imagining it was going to be super
really?
Nice.
Really?
From what I heard about it, yeah. I actually thought it was going to be a nice place. Like, yeah, I was surprised at the level of...
I was surprised too.
Yeah.
Really? I really thought it was going to be better.
I thought it was pretty much that.
I personally had two choices, and I knew it was going to go one or the other. This way or the way that you're thinking.
Yeah. Nothing in the middle.
Yeah. There was nothing in the middle. No. Yeah.
I mean, they had power tools. They had sports, toys. What else? What else? Sex toys.
Military stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, flashlights, whatever.
Cheap
yeah.
electronics.
Clothes, wood.
E-bikes.
And it's yep. broken up in a section. There's like, you know, an entire... shopping mall size section for crafts.
Yeah.
You know, then you
got art
erasers.
Too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You go down
erasers.
The whole shopping mall size full of, yeah.
And then
stationery
and
erasers.
Yeah. Then they had the specialty stores. It's like, yeah, I do erasers. I'm the eraser store.
Yeah.
I have a store of erasers.
Yeah.
I have 10,000 erasers, yeah. different kinds of erasers in here. So, you want to buy an eraser?
So the storyline with this thing is each store should be representing a factory, right?
Supposedly, these are all supposed to be representing factories. Or a factory that can produce what exactly you want.
Yeah.
And I kept going to one after another. And by this time, you know, doing over some time, slowly doing some research about this, I know exactly what product I'm looking for. I know exact specifications and what price range it should be in. Because I know the retail price. I know the retail price here in China. So a wholesale price in China, I've got an idea of what it should be. And what the suppliers at Yiwu International Trade Center were giving me was not wholesale prices.
They're more like middleman prices.
They're
yeah?
more like middleman yeah. prices, and sometimes the same or sometimes even higher than the retail prices you'd
right.
find for a product
yeah.
on Taobao.
Oh, for sure. So,
let me ask you a question. Was it because you didn't bargain, or is it because of the quantity, or why? I mean, or is it just because they were more expensive?
I was asking for high quantity. I was bargaining. I told them, you know, I can really make money for them if they can give me the right price and right product. But what I realized is they don't have. They're paying. The wholesale price.
They don't have the access.
They are actually paying the wholesale price.
Well, I discovered the same thing when I went to look at the what was those things called? The chairs for the people that can't walk.
Oh, wheelchairs.
Wheelchairs. Sorry, of course, wheelchairs. Chairs with wheels. So the wheelchairs. So I was talking to the people with the wheelchairs. Who was there? You were there?
Yeah, I was there.
All right. Yeah, you were there. And then we asked them the price, and the price was like maybe say 250 RMB per. But the place where you put your feet on were just so. Horrible metal that I know if any older person put their foot on there and they weighed like a Westerner, you know, a weight that could weigh, you know, 170 pounds or something, 180, 200 pounds, especially if you're a big dude, and they put it on their foot on there, they'll break it.
Yeah.
It'll snap and they'll go to the ground.
Yeah.
So, and I asked them specifically, hey, can you change these? Can we put a specialty, make it, you know, sturdier? No, can't do it. That was in my impression of the place. I thought you were going to go there, talk to the factories, and yep. they're going to say, "Yeah, we can do that. We can do this, but it's going to cost you more, or we can haggle."
Yeah.
But
yeah, it was just
none
no,
of that.
It was straight up, no.
It was like, "This is my product. That's it. Sorry."
Yeah, and there's nothing you can modify. Money will have nothing to do with it.
Kind of what we figured out was, so say if someone who owns like a sporting goods shop or some, you know, department store
in Ghana,
you know, they're going to fly in. They have say 3 or 4 days to land there. They can basically in a couple of days. Walk through the entire thing, picking out what they want. I want, you know, 1,000 of this, 5,000 of that. And they can shop for an entire department store
yeah.
within a couple of days, get a fair enough price,
yeah.
say I want this, this, and this. They're going to load it in a container and ship it all back for him.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to fly city to city and go factory to factory
exactly.
and deal with the language barriers and building the relationships and stuff like that.
Right.
So, you know, for a certain purpose... It serves a certain purpose.
Interesting
certain
you said market. Ghana, by the way.
I said Ghana.
Oh, you did? Oh.
Yeah.
That's not interesting.
No, and yeah, in that sense, I think, yeah, it would make sense. And I think they speak a little bit of English. They have calculators, so you could kind of, you know, bust things out and get it ready to ship. But, yeah, I'm still disappointed. I was mostly just, you know, you can't sell this shit in China.
You can't sell it. There's a lot of places you can't sell it.
guys, we got hungry.
We got hungry.
We got hungry.
And this is where we took a good turn. These were things.
Well, there was a debate about this, wasn't there? We actually got into a little tiff.
Yeah.
So, but wait, I think
I got a little bossy with this one.
But no, I think Wally was in the end. What's the word I'm looking for?
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but
was it right?
I think right. Is right. The word.
Righteous. Correct.
Fired.
Yeah, he was right.
It's not right, but the word I'm vindicated. Because he was like a wild man out.
You mean self-vindicated?
He was like a wild man running around like, guys, Indian food. I mean, seriously, like a heroin addict.
Okay, let's explain this circumstance. We heard,
there's good
we
Indian
read
food,
that there's going to be Indian food and Middle Eastern food.
I didn't hear this.
And some stuff that you don't typically find good quality, good price for in Shanghai.
Yeah.
And not much variety.
Yeah.
So
driving in there, we saw a bunch of Indian
friends. When we were driving the tax ride in the morning, we passed
Little India.
Yeah.
An entire row
of Indian food. Yep.
I was especially excited. All vegetarian.
Yeah.
For meat eaters out there, don't let it turn you off. If you go there, it's probably good food for everyone. Am I not?
Yeah, it was delicious.
We'll get to that. Damn vegans. Okay. Pushing their fucking religion on everybody.
We passed a long city.
They're hemp gods.
An entire city of vegetarian Indian restaurants. Yeah. So, I know I'm not going to get this once I get back to Shanghai. So, I was a little demanding.
Yeah, commandeer a cab.
Brought the people's elbow down on this one. I was like, we're going Indian food. Commandeer a cab. Threw down a whole five kwai to take us all the way 2 blocks to Indian food.
And we walked back, right?
We walked back.
But actually,
and stopped at McDonald's on the way back.
We did. So we went. We were looking for a place to eat. It was around lunchtime. They were mostly empty, right?
Yeah, mostly
almost
empty.
There's one that I'm going to put the picture up on Facebook later. It was Little India. And there's a few people in there, right?
Yeah.
And most of them were pure veg. And
Wait. Our Facebook is?
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should put this in the beginning.
Yeah, we might. So we might as well do it now so I can edit it in there.
All right. So we have a Facebook, guys. You could leave comments. Tell us. Give us shit. Tell us we're wrong. Or right.
Pick your favorite.
Or pick your favorite.
David.
David wants wants to be famous. Ooh. I'm not sure why. It's not like you get... Anyway. our Facebook is facebook.com/ChinaMSG. So there you go.
ChinaMSG. David, we love you.
All one word. ChinaMSG. Anyway,
so we went to which one was it?
Little Italy.
Little India. Yeah, pure veg. Little India.
Yeah, and so it's a whole row, massive row of all northern style
Indian
restaurants. Yeah. So we went in. We ordered a feast.
Yeah. So we went in there. It was like mostly empty. They had a bunch of the Indian guys working there. Not a single Chinese person in there.
Yeah,
no, nope.
Not
yeah.
a single Chinese person.
One table, three
One
guys.
One table, all Indian guys.
Yeah. And so the waiter comes up to us. I would say probably about 28 to 32 years old. Hasn't washed his hair in about 2 weeks.
No maybe. Man, I think he had the. I think he had some gel in there, like a lot of gel. I think he was going wet
for
like
2 weeks.
For 2 weeks, yeah. No, that guy was dirty.
He was dirty. So we get our. No. So he puts the bottle of water and the four glasses on our table. Not one was clean.
Not one.
The glasses were dirty.
Glasses were
dirty as shit.
And then we ordered. So we said, okay, we're going to get Coca-Cola. He brings Coca-Cola glasses with straws. Straws kind of like laying out on the table and on his tray. And the glasses he gives for the Coca-Cola. Dirty.
Yeah, so we drank from the can.
We drank from the can. We risked it from the can. I never risked it from the can.
Really?
Never.
Wow, okay.
But this time I was like.
But the guy was super, super polite. I mean, very nice.
They were super welcoming.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know. I wonder how many Westerners or foreigners they get in their restaurant. They were very like almost excited to see us. Maybe it's early in the day. Maybe no other customers. But they were very welcoming.
Yeah, very
hospitable.
Food was delicious. It was really delicious.
They had like sauces they brought out.
Chutney.
And then there was like
the yoga sauce.
Yoga
and
sauce.
The
was a little
cilantro
bit.
Sauce.
The tamarind.
And size. The tamarind, yep.
Yeah.
I mean, we got
they were
samosas
good.
Were delicious.
Big portions.
Huge portions.
And like the perfect food for a freezing cold
it was good.
Day.
It was really good.
In an industrial town.
The food was really good.
Inside was warm. They were playing
Bollywood.
Bollywood music.
Crazy Bollywood music.
It was warm inside. The food was spicy and warming.
The Bollywood music and the videos were a little rapey.
Oh yeah, a little rapey.
Catchy tunes.
Catchy tunes.
Catchy rapey tunes.
Well, yeah, like 20 guys, they chase one girl. Guys, tackle her on a beach.
Yes, that was exactly she comes up singing, what it dancing. Was, actually. That's exactly what. And one video after another was pretty much every single one was the same thing.
Little rapey.
By little rapey, he means a lot rapey.
And these are some 80s classic Bollywood films.
Yeah.
It was like, if you don't know what I'm talking about, go check
some. And after no sleep, and you're eating the Indian food in the middle of China, and you're just, I don't know, it was a bizarre experience.
With the Bollywood rapey stuff in the back, and then dirty dude.
Yeah.
It was a bizarre experience. It was pretty surreal.
You know, I mean, I'm maybe something we can catch up on another podcast, but, you know, I've actually heard, you know, all that hype about, a lot of news about, you know, the issue of gang rape in India is a big deal recently, right? It's coming out a lot in the news. Yeah. And a lot of people trace it back to the movie culture. That's like a common theme in their movies. It's messed up.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's like a fluke thing that we saw that in the movies, actually.
Well, you mentioned that during dinner night, and that made a lot of sense, because if you do see it, I don't know. But then we should do this another podcast, but, you know, then it goes to like the video games thing. It's like, oh, my kid plays Grand Theft Auto, that means he's going to go out and shoot everybody.
Yeah.
So, you know, everybody says, no, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, you know.
And then there's a Bollywood thing, go out and rape people. But it could have something to do with it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I personally think that if a kid sits at home and plays first person shooters all day for his whole teens, he's going to grow up and probably be a little fucked up.
What if he plays Tetris? Is he going to start building shit?
He might. He absolutely might.
All right. Anyway, the bill was, I think, $259 for four people.
$259.
What's that in USD?
I would say $40.
Bathrooms were clean enough. Smelled like mothballs. Clean enough.
Actually, they were clean enough. Yeah.
So if bathroom, yeah, that's actually a big plus. I was kind of a little bit scared to go to the bathrooms.
Not bad. And the guys, I gotta say, I can't overstate their hospitality. They came over and checked
they
on
nice.
Us time after time. Nice. How is everything? How's the food? At the very end, another guy came over and said, "How's your whole experience here? Thank you for coming."
Yeah.
They saw us out. They showed us to another one of their adjacent businesses, which is right next door. Gave
called,
us a business card.
Called FBI.
Yeah, called FBI.
Food, beer, what?
In. For
yeah, food, beer, in.
Yeah. Food, beer,
yeah.
In.
Yep.
Yeah. That's one of the things I would look forward to going back to.
Yes. Iwo. Yeah, actually, for sure. Yeah, I would definitely go back there.
I would go back. No, I would not go back to Iwo, but I would love to have the food again.
Yes, yes. So overall, you know, what score would you give it?
I'm giving that food at 8.5. My food ratings are in context. In the context of I live in China. So, again, great Chinese food.
Right.
I might get a little lower score because I eat it every day.
Sure.
Okay? Indian food is a little bit of a special fare for me. So maybe I'm going a little high. But food, 8.5. Overall score for the restaurant, 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the first score.
What?
David, come on. Say for all your fans out there, tell them the score.
What?
Hey, besides that, it's not just Indian food in China. It's Indian food in the middle of an industrial, cold, polluted, town.
Yeah, guys.
In the middle of nowhere.
Guys, there'll be pictures online on the Facebook. Check him out. It is. He's not understating it.
This place
is really
a needle in a haystack.
It's actually a haystack on a needle. It's pretty in the middle of your face. Yeah. It's the only place in there. Look, the food was delicious. I'm going to have to say, even though my samosa was cold in the middle, everything was amazing. It was delicious. I would say it was an 8 in the food. I think the Indian place we had in Hong Kong was a little bit better because I trusted it more. So the trust, let's bring this food score down. Food taste, 8. Trust, 3.
Yeah. Overall?
Overall for the place, it was dirty. The guy looked like he didn't sleep or wash or anything like that. Not one clean glass, not one clean silverware, nothing. I'm going to have to give the place a 4 or a 3, even though the food was good. I mean,
overall, you go 4.
Overall, I'm going to give it a 3 to 4. I'm going to say a 3.5 because
really?
If I can't trust the place or want to even look at the dude that's waiting for me, no matter how polite he is, I'm not going to go there.
I would agree the same thing, 8, but I would still give it a 6 or a 5. I would keep it just passing, just scraping by. I do agree with all you said about with David about the guy. I didn't want to look at the guy. He was that dirty. But I've eaten in Chinese restaurants where I didn't look in the kitchen or I sat.
Remember,
you
know, the fish place where the guy used to dig it in his nose when we had to fish?
Jesus Christ. Oh, we ate at this one restaurant. There's another restaurant. I remember when we lived in Chengdu. Imagine this guy bringing out two plates, and he's holding a plate in each hand. So, you know, his four fingers and his palm is under the plate, and his thumb hooks over the plate, and his thumbs are inside the food. And he sets the food. I was there with David. I don't know if you remember that. And he set the food in front of us, puts the two plates down, raises so he has two dirty thumbs with food on them, kind of looks around where to wipe them, sees the wall, and wipes them both on the wall as he's walking
yes,
away.
Yes, I remember that.
Oh, that was awesome. We still ate the food. Still ate the food.
Ah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We 100% did.
And I wonder why my stomach has problems now.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I would still give it a passing grade, like a 6. I mean, I would go back there. If I was around there, I would definitely go back. So me, David, and David's girlfriend, we were kind of walking through the whole mall. We wanted to kind of get through, just run right through it from section one, section two. And we were kind of going at fast speed, and we saw a lot of it, a lot of cool stuff, mostly trash, of course. But kind of we saw the whole thing. So we ran. It took us about an hour, maybe more.
Way more? Yeah, way more.
2 hours, just we went through the whole thing, stopping very shortly, but we basically ran through the whole thing. And we ended up at the other side of this market, right? And you exit the market, and there is, I'll put up a picture, there is like nothing, just fields, and the distance is construction. I mean, it is empty, wind howling by. And then Wally, you know, sends a message, goes, hey.
That's the wind.
Hey, guys. You know, I want to get a cab and let's go to the factory. And we're like, this is already, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Late afternoon. Yeah.
We're kind of already pretty exhausted, cold. And I take out my phone and I look up the address, and it's about 35 to 40 minutes away.
Like, 40 kilometers.
Jesus. Yeah. I was like, Jesus, it's gonna take a while. But you know, like I'm. Honestly, I'm super skeptical. I'm like, you know, like, this is cold. It's late afternoon. It's soon as spring festival, so everyone's already closing up shops. And this is part of the reason why the mall was so empty. A lot of people are kind of closing up shops. Dave is also kind of – we're all kind of skeptical about the whole idea. But what else are we going to do? What else are we going to do? So we're like, yeah, okay, let's
get in the car.
Let's do it. We're like, yeah. But, you know, I think we're all expecting that, you know. We're like, okay, well, 100%. You know, at least we're going to see it. You know, that's a good thing. At least we're going to go somewhere, take a drive, and at least see the factory. You know, no appointment, no nothing. But at least, you know, it's good to see it, right? And we get into the cab drives by, and he says, yeah, it's going to be for a while from here, right? So we start driving. And driving over there was not a simple drive, right? There's construction everywhere. There's bulls attached to by their noses to trucks. I mean, it was just a weird, weird kind of a drive. We almost ended up in the mountains.
Yeah.
We started driving to the...
It's out in the countryside.
Yeah. And it was a long drive. I mean, we were exhausted. And
we all took naps.
We all took naps, except for Wally.
I was looking around. Scenery outside of downtown actually gets interesting. I mean, it's a lot of variety. That you get into little sections where it's like empty and nothing there. And all of a sudden, some new high-rises and new buildings and new shopping mall, new schools. And then you go out again, and it's countryside again. Yeah. And then you wind down into these valleys and mountains and some nice scenery, kind of green, quiet, peaceful areas when you get into the valleys.
Yeah. So we drive by, and, you know, for sure, you know, we finally find the factory. You know, we drive in front of it, and we're like, holy shit. What would you know? There's a factory. But again, you know, we're not going to get anything out of this. And we pull over, and it's one of those action scenes. The car's not even fully stopped. Wally's doing a dive roll outside the window, comes to stop, and walks right through. And I think there was like people outside, like not a security guard.
There was a security guard, yeah, and other workers.
And Wally just like beelines straight into there, stopping for no one. I think you were like a... I don't know. for some reason, I would say like a suicide bomber running to the target. You know, you're not gonna stop by.
No, the workers and the security guard, they started kind of chasing me down. Like, who are you? Hi, what? I don't think they were used to having people just show up.
I mean, these guys were the most surprised people on the planet because like.
And what did you learn from the taxi driver? That makes it kind of explains a lot.
So we were sitting around talking. I was talking to the driver a little bit while Wally was inside, and he goes, you know, like, you know, I told him where we're from, and he's like, you know, honestly, this is the first time I get, you know, American and Canadians here. I've been driving for 5 years. This is what he said. I've been driving for 5 years, and in this 5 years, you're the first North Americans I've seen, you know. And I'm like, well, who do you get here a lot? Russians? And he's like, not really Russians. And he's, what he said, poor countries. A lot of poor countries. Yeah, I mean, you could tell. He's like, what are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
You know? And what were you doing here?
Actually, I've been trying to call and email and contact all these different factories for the past several weeks with
What do you mean kind of BS? Did she call you back?
No.
Did she email you back?
No.
All right, so it's kind of like saying, like WeChatting a girl and saying, well, I WeChatted her, so she's my girlfriend now.
More or less, yeah. That's
basically so you're it. In a room underneath the covers.
We're dating. So I just showed up and just, yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I told the security guard. He's like, okay. I just basically ran upstairs, burst into their main office, and I was like, boss? And she like put her head up and she's like,
was she napping?
No, they were hard at work. Oh. And, you know, everyone else was surprised. She played it cool. She was very calm. She's like, hi, can I help you? And have a seat, you know? And I could see she's a little surprised to see me just show up.
Did she ask you how you got here?
Yeah, exactly. She said, how did you get here? You have a car, I guess? I just said, yeah, I have a car. You know, didn't mention this taxi or whatever. And she said, how did you find out about our factory? And how did you come here? And I said, well, you know, I've been trying to get in touch with you, but no reply yet. And so I just came down. She said, well, okay. Long story short, she was very welcoming. I talked to her about my business plans and ideas and how I wanted to have her factory involved. And she was very receptive and said, now keep in mind, you know, our staff is gone. We're all going home for spring holiday, Chinese New Year. But we'll be back in a few weeks and we'll be in touch and we'll start working together.
Cool. So overall success.
That one thing was a big success. And I'll definitely be going back to Yiwu just because of that one thing. So,
yeah.
Nice.
So we got to the train station and it was packed with throngs and throngs of people. I mean, there were people everywhere. Lines at the door, megaphones out there. And it's a pretty small town, really small train station. I mean, it's still new, fairly new, fairly well done. And it was just throngs of people. And
very massive suitcases.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So apparently, the new carry-on fashion of the season is a plastic bucket.
Plastic bucket carry-ons.
Yes.
Yeah. Plastic bag carry-ons. Well, what were people carrying?
It's all the fashion.
People were packing up a lot of gifts and stuff to take home for the holiday, right?
And the normal feng bian bian. Instant noodles.
Instant noodles everywhere.
Yeah, everyone travels with ramen packets to eat on the train on the way back home.
So right now, basically what's happening if you're outside of China is this phenomenon. Well, it's Spring Festival, but the phenomenal surrounding is called Chunyun, which is basically like going home for the Spring Festival. And how many millions of people? It's the largest.
They say 300 million, but I think it's probably more.
It's the largest migration, like yearly migration.
They compare it to the whole United States, population of the United States moving to another place.
So if you're from the States, imagine, you know, how bad rush hour is if you're in LA or New York or whatever, any major city. Yeah, Honolulu, for Christ's sake. Now, you know, we're talking Honolulu, which has horrible traffic. You know, how many? A few hundred thousand people going, you know, to work?
800,000.
No, but I mean, and how many of them are going to work every day?
Yep.
A fraction of that.
Probably, yeah.
We're talking about over 300 million people moving.
Yep.
You know, it is unimaginable scale. So that's why this was the beginning of it. So you could kind of already see.
This time of year, train tickets sell out, airplane tickets sell out, bus tickets sell out.
I was doing Chunyun since 2004, since the first time we've been here.
2005
was the first Chunyun. And yeah, man, you get the tickets, you get people standing. People stand on trains for hours, 60-hour trips sometimes.
Standing.
And then if they don't, they take these buckets. And this is what the buckets are for, is if they have their stuff in there, they'll turn it over and use it as a seat because they're standing the whole time.
Yeah.
Or they'll try to nestle up in you. Even if you have a seat, You're going to have somebody sitting in that seat with you.
Yeah.
Somebody on your lap. Or next to you. Yeah. Or sleeping on you. Yeah. Or sleeping in front of you.
Yeah.
Or every... Dude, it's crazy. And they do this all just to get home for Spring Festival.
So people's vacation is typically... it's kind of a trick vacation because they get technically a week off or 5 workdays off.
Yeah.
But have to work the weekend before and after.
Yeah. So so in China, often vacations are not vacations, just rearranging your schedule.
Yep. You get basically one extra... You work a solid week and a weekend to get basically a one extra day off.
Yeah.
And then you work another solid week and a weekend after that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. So they'll move it to kind of have more days together, which kind of makes sense a little bit. But, you know, I mean, it is horrible sometimes where you're working like 2 weeks straight. It's exhausting.
Yeah, it's just horrible.
Yeah. If we had to rate the Ibu trip, how would we rate it?
I can't give it a number. It was just an awesome experience. I learned a lot about global trade, about life in China. I had a personal success I'm happy about. Definitely an invaluable experience.
I could have passed on it. Even though I liked getting up in the morning, going out with you guys and, you know, hanging out, that was fun. But the trip itself, meh.
You know, I could see why you feel that way, but I think, you know, if you look back at it, you're going to be like, oh, that was kind of cool. And I'm glad I did, because honestly, that was after all the years we've been living, this is our first kind of foray into this. And it was, I mean, we visited a factory and a factory town and a huge marketplace with full of middlemen. And we learned a lot of lessons. So if you are going, if you think of checking out Ewu, you know, I mean, I don't know, on our whole experience of one day being there, I would still say really research what you want. Research the prices, right?
Go directly to a factory,
if you can. Yes, if you can.
Or Alibaba.
Alibaba. But, I mean, it's still, you got to... Actually, there's a lot of middleman online, too. I mean, that's even easier to be a middleman. That's the tricky part, right?
Yeah, even on Alibaba, you'll find a mix of some direct factories and a lot of middlemen who claim to be direct factories. Yeah.
So, there you go. So, all right, guys. Thanks for listening. This is Jeffrey signing out.
Boom.
Boom, boom.
Good night, you guys. See you next time.
Good night.
Happy Chinese New Year.
Yeah, happy Chinese New Year, guys. Bye-bye.
China. Boo, 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 MSG.